Let's read together Proverbs chapter 24, verses 1 through 22. Now, in this first half of Proverbs chapter 24, we have more of the wise sayings from this section in Proverbs known as the sayings of the wise. Now, for our background notes, let's consider the background significance to the phrase in the gate in verse 7. What's the meaning of that phrase, in the gate? And how does this background help us to understand this wise saying? Well, back in Proverbs chapter 22, we also read about the gate. Remember that we said, when we studied Proverbs 22, that the gate of the city in ancient days functioned as the courthouse and as the location in the city where legal transactions took place. We mentioned the book of Ruth, where in chapter 4, the legal transaction for Boaz to marry Ruth took place in the gate of the city. We should also mention that in Genesis chapter 19, Lot was sitting in the gate of the city when the angels came to rescue him from Sodom. So most likely, Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom as a member of Sodom's city council for the purpose of trying to bring about social reform. So with that background, we understand the phrase in the gate to mean involvement in the governing and legal transactions of the city. So now I think we can appreciate the wise saying of Proverbs 24, verse 7. Wisdom is too lofty for a fool. He does not open his mouth in the gate. We can draw a couple of practical conclusions from this proverb. Number one, governing a city or state and understanding legal transactions takes wisdom. A fool cannot understand or deal with such matters. It is beyond him. And number two, don't vote for a fool, no matter how popular he may be. If he has no appreciation or understanding of the affairs of state, you are in for trouble. Let's move now to our doctrinal point for the rest of the wise sayings in this first half of Proverbs 24. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. Verses 1 and 2. Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. Now, why would you ever want to be envious of evil men? Because, as we've already seen, so many of the wicked are prosperous and don't seem to have the problems of the righteous. Well, two reasons are given here in Proverbs chapter 24 why we should not be envious of the wicked, even though they are prosperous and they don't seem to have any problems. The first reason is given here in verse 2. For their heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. That is, they have ungodly thoughts and talk. Do you really want to be envious of these kinds of people? Such action would certainly not please the Lord. The second reason is given in verses 19 and 20. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the wicked, for there will be no prospect for the evil man. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. There is no future for the wicked. Things may look good now, but in the end, the wicked die with no future hope. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Taken literally, of course, this wise saying makes perfect sense. You don't build a house without first drawing up the plans and counting the cost. And then you don't buy just any kind of furniture or junk to fill the rooms. No, there's thought and purpose that goes into furnishing your home. Well, the same is true in building a marriage and family or ministry or church. It takes patient planning, disciplined work, and constant prayer. Verses 5 and 6. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war. And in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Wise strategy is better than mere strength. This is true in literal warfare, of course, as Napoleon found out, for example, when without wise counsel he invaded Russia in winter. That was not wise strategy, as history has shown. But this wise saying certainly has more in view than military warfare. Overcoming obstacles and fighting the battles of life requires wisdom, not just strength. Would you agree? James 3 promises the wisdom from above for the believer if we look to the Lord. And wisdom is not self-reliant, but seeks out the godly counsel of others, as we see here in verse 6. In a multitude of counselors, there is safety. So when you have major decisions to make in life, don't be too proud to ask the counsel of godly believers and consult more than one person. It's in the abundance of counselors, multitude of counselors, there is victory and safety. Verses 8 and 9, Proverbs 24, verses 8 and 9. He who plots to do evil will be called a schemer. The devising of foolishness is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to men. You know, some people have the idea that planning and scheming to do wrong is not so bad as long as you don't commit the actual acts of sin. Well, that idea is certainly not taught in the Bible. We see here that planning and scheming, wrongful activity, is just as much sin in God's eyes and in the ways of the people as well. Verses 11 and 12. Deliver those who are drawn toward death, and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? We have a responsibility to rescue helpless people who are in mortal danger. We cannot claim ignorance before God. What does this say about those who stood by in World War II while innocent people were led off to the gas chambers? And what does this say about people today who stand by while the lives of the helpless unborn are snuffed out? This wise saying also speaks to our responsibility to share the gospel with lost people. We can't claim ignorance. Verses 13 and 14. My son, eat honey because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to your taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. If you have found it, there is a prospect or latter end, and your hope will not be cut off. You know, getting wisdom is not like taking cod liver oil. Cod liver oil, of course, is good for you, but doesn't taste good. But getting wisdom is like eating honey. It is not only good for you and for your future, but tastes good as well when you eat it. It is generally a pleasant experience to gain wisdom and knowledge. That's the point of this proverb. It is generally a pleasant experience to gain wisdom and knowledge. Verses 15 and 16. Do not lie in wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Do not plunder his resting place. For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. You've heard the expression, a cat has nine lives, right? Well, that's not a Bible verse. And neither is the expression, the righteous person has seven lives. That's not a Bible verse. However, it is a biblical truth, as we see here in verse 16. For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. The point of this wise saying is that the wicked should be warned about plotting anything bad against the righteous, because with the Lord, the righteous are far more resilient than the unrighteous, and God has ways of making the plans of the wicked backfire. Verses 17 and 18. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it, and it displeases him, and he turn away his wrath from him. This wise saying reminds us of Obadiah 12, doesn't it? Which says, do not gloat over your brother's day of misfortune. Now, the context here in Proverbs 24:17 is a personal one. This is not talking about victory over the enemy in a just war or the removal of the Hitlers of history. No, this has to do with personal enemies. We leave all of this in the hands of God and don't gloat. As Romans 12:19 says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Verses 19 and 20 of Proverbs 24. "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the wicked, for there will be no prospect for the evil man. The lamp of the wicked will be put out." As we mentioned before, why would you logically ever envy the wicked? They are doomed. They have no hope. Believers have an eternal future, regardless of our prosperity or popularity in this life. Verses 21 and 22. "My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those given to change, for their calamity will rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin those two can bring." The Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter both drew on these verses in Romans chapter 13 and in 1 Peter chapter 2. We should obey God and also obey the government in everything that does not contradict the Word of God. And we should not associate with rebels and revolutionaries. That's the idea here in those given to change. Now, this does not mean that we don't vote for change when change is needed to go in the right direction. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. What about practical application for this first half of Proverbs 24? If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. Again, this is not a Bible verse, but verse 10 comes close. "If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small." Actually, in terms of the kitchen and the heat, the proverb is saying, if you leave the kitchen, it's because you can't take the heat. You know, you never really know how strong you are as a believer or how weak you are until you are tested under pressure. Is that not true? The good news here is that believers can be strong. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." 2 Timothy 2:1. So the saying, "When the going gets tough, the tough get going," can be said of every believer who looks to the Lord. So our practical application is really a challenge to be willing to stay in the kitchen of Christian commitment. It will be hot, but the heat will never be too overwhelming for us. But if you're not up for the challenge of being a committed disciple of Christ, then it's better to just cheer from the sidelines, as is the case of many Christians. If you can't take the heat, then get out of the kitchen.